our next speaker is Alexis D'Agostino. She works for John Snow, Inc. under the SPRING Project, which stands for Strengthening Partnerships, Results, and Innovations in Nutrition Globally. The goal of SPRING is to scale up high-impact nutritional practices and policies, again, with dimensions of intersectoral collaboration, and to understand the factors involved with implementation progress.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking your lunch time to come hear us speak. Hopefully, you're getting a lot out of our talks, and we really look forward to having the question and answer session after this. So if it feels like I'm going quickly through some of the slides, please jot down a little note, and I'd be glad to go into more detail after the presentation. So today what I would like to talk to you about is some analysis that we conducted using DHS, or Demographic and Health Survey data, looking at the distribution and consumption of iron folic acid tablets through the antenatal care system. And I have nothing to disclose. A little bit of background on SPRING, and I'm not going to read the whole slide to you, but the key point here is I just want to point out that our large focus on SPRING is on the first 1,000 days in prevention of stunting and anemia. So we are a U.S. Agency for International Development funded cooperative agreement. And so we have both a research mandate at the global level as well as we do country implementation. As I don't think I have to explain too much to those of you in the room, but anemia really is a major public health issue. And so when SPRING was looking at anemia in the early days, we realized, you know, this is something that affects over 500 million women. Rates have fallen only very slightly over the past few decades. So there were going to be a number of factors that we would have to look at. And one thing to keep in mind is that what I'm going to share with you is just a small piece of SPRING's anemia work. So you'll notice that we're really focusing in on the antenatal care system and looking at how that factors into broader country programming is really another key piece of SPRING's work, but unfortunately we don't have the time to go into that today. So when SPRING was trying to decide what to do around anemia, we were looking at the things that we already knew. One of the things that we knew is that anemia definitely affects pregnant women very heavily. And many countries have these supplementation programs for iron folic acid that's a major component of their anemia prevention programming. They also have antenatal care systems that have dramatically improved over the last few decades. Looking at these together, though, we found it very interesting to point out that IFA coverage really hasn't kept up with ANC coverage over the past few decades. Despite these huge leaps and bounds in ANC coverage, the existence of these supplementation policies for pregnant women, we're still seeing very few women who are actually receiving sufficient doses of IFA during their pregnancies. So we conducted our analysis on 22 countries, which are the ones that you see highlighted on the map in front of you. And ANC attendance generally was fairly high in most of the countries that we looked at. Very few of the countries that we looked at had ANC coverage lower than 70%. On the other hand, the picture for IFA coverage is not nearly as good, and it's important to note here that IFA coverage is referring to just women receiving and taking one tablet during their entire pregnancy, which is obviously not enough to do much, but that's how we're defining IFA coverage. So it's a very loose definition, and even with that, only three countries, Zambia, Malawi, and Senegal, have IFA coverage greater than 90%. Compare that to the last slide, where we had nearly 15 countries with ANC coverage over 90%. You can see that there's definitely a mismatch here. So in terms of our methods, we use the demographic and health surveys, which for those of you who aren't familiar, these are household-based surveys that look at data on population, health, HIV, as well as nutrition. And they're carried out about every 5 years in a number of countries around the world. The nice part about the DHS surveys is they ask a lot of background information from women, but then they also ask questions around antenatal care, whether or not they received it, as well as when they received it, how often, and iron tablets that were taken during their last pregnancy, not just whether or not they were taken, but also how many. So using all of these data from the DHS, we were able to pull together what we call a rapid assessment tool. It's essentially a decision tree analysis that hypothesizes the decisions that women are going through as they proceed through their pregnancy. This allowed us to highlight four key areas where women are dropping out of this ideal pathway that we've designed, and we've called them falter points in our analysis. So looking at women who were pregnant in the last 5 years that were interviewed in the survey, we look at whether or not they had at least one ANC visit. Those who didn't have at least one ANC visit, we characterized as dropping out at this first falter point. Of the women who did have the ANC visits, then our next question was whether or not they received or purchased IFA tablets. Those who hadn't received or purchased the tablets were falling out at falter point two. And then of this smaller population that was left, women who had attended ANC, received or purchased the tablets, we said, did they take at least one of these tablets? Did they take them home and toss them in the trash, or did they take them home and actually consume them? If they took them home and didn't consume them, that was falter point three. And then the final question was, did they take at least 180 of these tablets? 180 is a large number, and I just want to walk through where we came, how we came to this number. Basically, we pulled together two World Health Organization guidelines, the first being that women are recommended to attend antenatal care as early as possible in their pregnancy, preferably in the first trimester. The second is daily IFA supplementation during pregnancy, again, starting as early as possible, but most likely with the first antenatal care visit. So if we take the very ideal situation of a woman going into her first antenatal care visit during the first trimester of pregnancy, we're looking at 6 months of daily supplementation or 180 tablets. Again, I know this is a large number, and I'm actually going to talk a little bit about what that means for our analysis in one of the next few slides. I just want to kind of recap what we did before I get into each of the falter points in more detail, but we have the four different falter points looking at ANC attendance, IFA receipt or purchase, and then the number of tablets taken, both whether any were taken, as well as whether they reached this ideal consumption minimum. So with falter point one, what we're really looking at here is whether or not women attended ANC. And if they're not attending ANC, then this is a underutilized vehicle for IFA distribution in the countries that have this low attendance. One thing that's interesting to note is that some of the countries where falter point one was one of the greatest barriers also had very low healthcare utilization by women and children, measured by deliveries in facilities as well as by healthcare seeking behaviors for children with respiratory or diarrheal illnesses. So this suggests that improvement of ANC is not just as simple as let's walk out and increase ANC clinics, but it might be a more underlying factor that will require some significant systematic changes. Just to give you an idea of the country performance we saw in the 22 different countries, these are how the countries performed. And remember, these numbers are not percent of women attending ANC, but percent of women affected by this falter point. So in Ethiopia, we're looking at almost 60% of women not attending antenatal care. These are some pretty high numbers. And then towards the right, you see the countries where women are attending antenatal care in higher numbers, or the other way of looking at it is where this falter point is less of a barrier to ideal IFA supplementation. Falter point two is really more of a supply side issue, and it constitutes a missed opportunity for supplementing pregnant women. So remember, falter point two, we're talking about women who have attended ANC, and we're looking at they have attended ANC, but they have not received or purchased IFA tablets. This could be due to weak supply systems, or it could have something to do with health workers failing to provide proper messaging or counseling around use of IFA tablets. Unfortunately, the way the DHS words their questions, we're not able to tell what the source of these tablets are, so we're not sure if they're actually getting them in the clinics or if they're purchasing them on their own. But one thing that's interesting to note is that the rates of IFA receipt and purchase are much higher among those women who attend ANC. About 80% of women who attend ANC receive or purchase tablets, as compared to only 14% across all of the countries of women who don't attend ANC, which is why we wanted to focus on ANC as one of the key routes to IFA supplementation in this analysis. Again, just to show you some of the country performance here, you notice that DRC, Tanzania, and Honduras have about one-third of their pregnant women who are missing this key opportunity for supplementation, who have attended ANC but aren't receiving or purchasing these tablets. Our falter point three is women who attend ANC, receive or purchase the tablets, and for whatever reason don't take them. And this really highlights a weakness in demand. One possible cause for this could be poor messaging around IFA. If women are receiving lots of information about perceived side effects, this could be dampening their demand for actually taking the tablets that they've received. One thing to note, though, is that this is not a significant barrier in most of our countries that we've looked at, with it only affecting about 10% or less of the women in those countries. So it's difficult to draw strong conclusions here and hasn't been a huge factor in our analysis. The final falter point four, is women who have taken at least one tablet but fail to take the full 180. And this is the greatest barrier, and it affects about 50% of all of the pregnant women in these countries that we looked at. It also highlights the importance of early and often ANC visits. Women who attend ANC later in their pregnancy just simply don't have the time to receive the 180 tablets that are recommended. Similarly, if they only attend very few ANC visits, depending on the way that the supply of IFA tablets work, they might not be able to receive enough to fulfill the 180 tablets. For instance, if at their first visit they're only given a 3 or 2 month supply even, they have to be going back to get the rest of the tablets they require. And if they're not going back, then they're not going to be getting those tablets. And then here you can see we've got countries where over 80% of the women are falling out of the pathway due to this falter point. So it's definitely one of the more significant barriers. One thing important to keep in mind is that the countries on the far right side of this graph are not necessarily countries that perform well in this falter point analysis, but they're countries that may have just had so many women fall out in the first three falter points that there aren't too many left here to even be making a decision of how many tablets to take at the end of their pregnancy. And I had promised that I was going to talk a little bit about the number that we chose. So we did have that 180 cutoff number. If we have that down to 90 tablets during the pregnancy, we still only have about half of our countries where 25% or more of women are getting the correct, the ideal dosage of 180 of 90 tablets during their pregnancy. So the numbers still are not spectacular, even when we have this, which points out that it's not just that we've got, you know, a slight number issue and they're all taking 160 instead of 180. It definitely is a fairly built-in issue to this system. So what I've been showing you before have been the graphs of women falling out of the system, kind of the bad side of the picture. What I'm showing you up on the screen now is actually the good side. These are the women who have actually received and ingested the 180-plus tablets. So these are the women who made it all the way through. One thing to note is that even the performance among the high performers is still only 25 to 30%. So we're still looking at a lot of room for improvement here. And I have to apologize, I know this is a busy slide, but it's actually everything that I've just walked through with you put into one graph. But I just wanted everyone to be able to see kind of how the countries compare to each other. So you notice that there are some countries where falter point one is really a critical shortcoming. That's where a lot of the women are falling out. Other countries where falter point two tends to be more of a problem. Falter point three, as I mentioned before, was not a huge barrier for most of the countries we looked at. Falter point four, though, that lighter blue color that you can see, is really where the majority of the women are having trouble in this schematic that we've designed. And we do just want to call out there are a couple of higher performers, but even then you can see that that's only about a third or so of the women in those countries who are actually making it all the way through and ingesting the full 180 tablets. The interesting thing about looking at this with the multiple countries is that we're actually able to talk a little bit about what countries are similar and dissimilar, and perhaps allow for some coordination between these countries. So if you look at the first group up here at the top, these are the countries where more than 30% of the pregnant women actually proceeded through the full system to take the recommended 180 tablets during their pregnancy. And then you can compare that with the second group. These are women, or these are countries where the ideal consumption rates are slightly lower than the top performers. And we're talking about 9 to 18% of women actually going through to consume the full 180 tablets. And these countries especially would benefit from some of the lessons drawn from the high performers in group one in order to promote the tablet consumption within their own countries. Group three has the falter point four as their key barrier. And they've done fairly well falter points one through three, and it's this 180 tablets that's really providing this biggest stumbling block. Four, we see that the supply side barriers become more of an issue. And so these are countries that would need to look specifically at what's happening with their supply systems, what's happening with their healthcare providers in terms of messaging and counseling. Five is the countries that have low rates of ANC attendance. So these are countries that might want to look into either improving ANC rates or thinking about ways to provide IFA supplementation outside of the ANC system, if this is providing a huge stumbling block. And then six, the group six, right now it's only Ethiopia because of the countries that we chose, but I'm sure had we increased this to a larger number of countries, we would have seen a lot more countries falling into this group, are really countries that have problems at each of the falter points. So hopefully this kind of analysis will allow them to prioritize the areas to focus on first. And I know I'm running out of time here, so a few of the quick conclusions that we had were that we want to look into what's happening with the strong performers to be able to pull some lessons for other countries. A reminder that IFA distribution is really only a piece of the anemia prevention strategy, so it has to work in conjunction with other pieces of the health work. And then improving IFA distribution systems really is going to require a lot of that multi-level commitment by many different stakeholders. And we encourage the countries to kind of use this as a tool for highlighting what's going on exactly with those different falter points. And what I've got up here on the slide are just some suggested questions for further research and analysis. And if you have any questions, feel free to visit our website, and there will be country briefs available soon where you can take a look at the more in-depth discussion on each of the countries that I've presented here today.